Good morning. This morning I'd like to wish all the dads and granddads a happy Father's Day. For some people today, Father's Day is a sad day. For some, they have remembered their fathers who are no longer with them. For others, Father's Day is a sad day. Now in September 2021, because there will be people all over Australia that won't be able to see their dads. Those states that are in lockdown, there will be people that are unable to visit their fathers or their grandfathers because of the lockdown rules. And so today, particularly in New South Wales, across our state, there will be children and grandchildren sad, and dads and grandparents, grandfathers that are sad. For others today, Father's Day is a sad day because there are people in our country and throughout the world that have not had good fathers. Their fathers have brought trouble and tears and turmoil into their lives. So Father's Day for them today is not a day to celebrate because of their fathers that they have had in their lives. Well, as we think about Father's Day, I believe that we need to look today in the fact that we've got a Heavenly Father who is above all fathers. We have a Heavenly Father who is a perfect Father. A Heavenly Father who loved us so much that he gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this world and to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. So we could go back to the Father's house, so everyone who has trusted in him could have eternal life. I read an interesting article that was sent to me, and the article was on the ABC website, and it was written back in 2017. And the article was entitled, A History of Father's Day. And the article looks at the origins of Father's Day in the world. And it also looks at Father's Day in Australia. And what I found interesting was it says, one of the first mentions of Father's Day in Australia was seen in the Newcastle Sun on September the 4th, 1936. The article promoted a Father's Day meeting at the Baptist Tabernacle with reference to hopes the day would become as popular as Mother's Day. The idea had also surfaced a week earlier on August 29, 1936, in the Daily News Perth, with an advertorial suggesting gifts to be given on the day. Now, isn't that interesting that the Tabernacle here was promoting Father's Day back in 1936? Now, no matter what type of father we've had, I need to say that our Heavenly Father is perfect. And our Heavenly Father will never let us down. Our Heavenly Father is the one that created the whole universe. And the Father in heaven wants to be a father to you. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote about God the Father. In Ephesians 1 verse 2, he said, Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Our God is the creator of every human being on earth, and he desires to adopt us into his family. God made the adoption possible by sending his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and who died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world, arising again on the third day. The Lord Jesus redeemed us by his blood when he became the sacrifice for the sins of all humanity. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood," that's the blood of Jesus, "the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins, adoption as the children of God, and a home in heaven is available to all those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. When John wrote to the early church, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he wanted people to know what God the Father was like. No human being on earth, apart from the Lord Jesus, knew the Father in heaven in an intimate way as he did. Jesus knew God so well because the Lord Jesus had spent all eternity with God the Father. Jesus knew all about God. He knew about God's presence. He knew about God's power. He knew about God's holiness. He knew about God's justice. He knew about God's care. And he knew about God's providence. Jesus was the expert on the character of God in his day. Out of all things that Jesus taught about God to the people, he revealed to them an incredible truth, that God was Father. Jesus majored it on the fact that God in heaven had the title of Father. Jesus also revealed something about God the Father. Jesus revealed that God the Father was perfect. He makes no mistakes. Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Jesus revealed from the time of his childhood that God was Father, and he continued right on to the end of his life, revealing also that God was Father. Amongst the first words of Jesus, we have these words, "I must be about my Father's business." At the age of 12, the Lord Jesus said that. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to begin with "Our Father." When Jesus prayed his own prayer in John 17, he called God the Father. John 17, verse 1, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Amongst the words of Jesus on the cross, amongst the last words, were these words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So amongst the first words of Jesus on earth, he stated that God was Father. And in the last words of Jesus on earth, he stated too that God was Father. The Lord Jesus taught on the fatherhood of God because he wanted to reveal the fatherhood of God to people. And the greatest passage on the fatherhood of God, I believe, is in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus relates the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Isn't it wonderful that those that were on the bottom level of society in Jesus' day delighted to hear his words? Well, in Luke chapter 15, we have the Pharisees. And in Luke chapter 15, the Lord Jesus addresses the Pharisees. You know the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. It's the story of a son that takes his inheritance. He leaves the father's house. He goes to a far-off country and he squanders that inheritance. And the prodigal ends up starving. And he realizes that he had sinned against God and he'd sinned against his father. So he starts on the journey home hoping to get a job as a servant in his father's house. What a shock the prodigal got when he neared the father's home. In Luke chapter 15, verse 20, the Bible says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." The father sees the son. The father has compassion for him. The father runs and meets him and kisses him and embraces him. The father has compassion. And the son makes a confession. Luke 15, 21. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Now in Jesus' day, a rebellious son could actually be stoned. And the father here doesn't desire that his son be stoned. But what does he do? Well, he calls for a celebration. And he showers his son in gifts of his grace. The first thing the father provides the son is the opportunity for reconciliation. Now, reconciliation is where those that are in a broken relationship are restored to friendship or harmony. The father had never given up on the son despite the son's failings. The father saw his son in the distance. He had compassion for him and he ran to him. The father could not wait for his son to come to him. Once he saw the returning son, he made every effort to be the first one to meet the son that was lost. Luke 15, verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." The father's desire was that the son come back to him, and the father was willing to pay the full cost of the son's reconciliation and restoration. The father, in his great love for his son, did not just stop at greeting him. The father's desire for his son was not only reconciliation, but the father's desire was for the son's restoration back into his family. If you look at Luke chapter 15, verse 21, the Bible reads, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be Mary. I've done a quick summary of what the prodigal's father did for his son. Because of the father's love, the prodigal received reconciliation. Because of the father's love, the prodigal received restoration. Because of the father's love for the prodigal son, the son would receive a robe. Because of the father's love for the prodigal son, the son would receive a ring. Because of the father's love for the prodigal, the son would receive runners, well, shoes. Because of the father's love, the prodigal would receive a roast. And not only a roast, there would be a reunion. The father was going to throw a party for his son. The son that was lost, and the son that had come back, and the son now that was found back in the father's house. Well, the father orders his servants to bring out the best robe for him. Can you imagine? Here is the son, almost home, and when he's a great way off, his father sees him, and his father runs to him. And I believe before he enters the father's house, the father sees the prodigal from the pigsty, clothed in the stinking rags of a sinful life. To the prodigal's surprise, the father orders a new robe so his son can be free from the stench of the past. And he enters a celebration that the father puts on, not dressed in rags, but in the riches that the father supplies. What a picture of the sinner that comes to the father. He stands again as a new man in new clothes, clean because of the father's provision. I believe it was probably a family robe. In those days, there were family robes, might have been different colours that represented the family. And I believe this was probably a family robe. And the father was showing the son and others that this lost boy was restored to the family. A spotless garment given freely to a once sinful son. There is a verse in the Old Testament that reminds me of what the father did for the son. Zechariah has a vision of Joshua the high priest standing in filthy clothes. Zechariah 3 verse 3, now Joshua's clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Filthy garments to be removed, and rich robes to be forgiven. The father orders the best robe for his once wayward sons and daughters. The Father in heaven does that. Not only was the prodigal son to be given new robes, he was to be given a ring. The prodigal fully expected to be treated like a servant, but he discovers that he is placed in the position again as a son with restored authority in the family. Put a ring on his hand, says the father. The ring signified position, authority, and riches. Remember when Joseph became Prime Minister of Egypt under Pharaoh? Pharaoh gave Joseph his ring, which is a symbol of authority. Genesis 41, 42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. Because of the father's love, the prodigal would not only receive a robe and a ring, but he would receive some new runners, or shoes, the Bible says. Luke 15, 22, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Not only that, because of the father's love, the prodigal would not only receive a robe and a ring and runners, but the prodigal would receive a roast. I love roastiness. I don't know about you. Love roastiness. Such a special thing to have with the family. Luke 15, verse 22, put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. In verse 23, we see that the servants were to bring forth the fatted calf and they were to kill it. The prodigal from the pig pen became hungry when he was distant from the father, and the father knew he needed nourishment. Let me ask you a question. What drove the son back to the father? Well, there was a famine in the land, and there was deep hunger in the son. And the son that knew that he'd failed God, and the son knew that he'd failed his father, and he was hungry. Before he could ever be fed at the father's table, there had to be forgiveness. And free forgiveness, as well as free food, physical food, was provided by a loving father. When David wrote Psalm 23, he wrote about God's provision in the Lord's house. Psalm 23, verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Because of the father's love, the prodigal was also going to receive a reunion at the father's house. Dad was going to throw a party. "Let us eat and be merry," the father said. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. There's music and there's dancing and there's joy and there's celebration at the father's house. The prodigal son has a surprise party. He didn't expect that. He expected when he returned to be treated like a slave. No, the father put on a party for his son. The son that was lost but now is found. The son that was lost is a son that is found. The son that was on the road to destruction is now on the road to life. And there had to be a celebration in the father's house. You might say, well, that's a great story of a father's love. Yes, it is. But do you know the father's love? Do you know that this story should relate to us? We have a father in heaven. He has loved us infinitely more than our earthly fathers. And in the story of the prodigal son, we see what our Father in heaven does for us. The prodigal father gave the son all he had. God, who is Father, has given us the very breath of life. He's given us everything that we have. All that we have, we can thank God the Father in heaven for. He provides not only the breath of life, but the Father in heaven provides all our needs. Jesus said, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they?" Despite God's abundant provision, every human being is like the prodigal son. We've all rebelled against God. Like the prodigal, we've taken God's good gifts and we have squandered our lives in sin and rebellion. We don't deserve the Father's love. We, in fact, deserve punishment. The prodigal didn't deserve the father's love. He'd squandered his inheritance. He despised what the father had given him. He'd wasted it. And yet his father showed grace. Isaiah 53, verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The prodigal's father provided him the opportunity for reconciliation. And likewise, our Father in heaven provides us with the opportunity of reconciliation. What is reconciliation in the Bible? Well, reconciliation takes place after a relationship is broken. Reconciliation is where those that are in a broken relationship are restored to friendship or harmony. The father was looking for the son. And the father's desire was that the son come back to him. And the father was willing to pay the full cost of the son's reconciliation and restoration. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19, the Bible says, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." Remember the first physical gift that the prodigal's father gave him? It was a robe. In God's wonderful grace, we see that giving follows forgiving. Before the son enters the father's house, the father sees a prodigal coming from the pigsty, clothed in the stinking rags of a sinful life. And before we enter our father's heavenly house, the stinking rags of a sinful life must be removed. The Bible says, Isaiah 64 verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." The prodigal enters the father's celebration, standing again as a new man, in new clothes, clean again because of the father's provision. A spotless garment freely given to a once sinful son. Is not that the story of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? When Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinth, he said this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." When we come to the Father through the Son, we have a new standing. We are washed clean. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we see the Bride of Christ, we get a vision of her purity in the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, Revelation 19 verse 8, talking about the bride, it's talking about believers in the Lord Jesus, it says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." Isn't it wonderful to know that the stained garments of a sinful life can be taken away because of the righteousness that is given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ took my sin upon the cross, and he gives to me the gift of a right standing before God the Father, sins forgiven, sins washed away, because Christ sacrificed his life for me. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, that's Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God not only gives those that come to him through Christ a new standing before him, we are given a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or some translations will say, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The prodigal son is given a ring. Put a ring on his hand, the father said. The prodigal fully expected to be treated like a servant, but he discovers that he is placed in the position again as a son with restored authority in the family. The ring signified position, authority, and riches. And every believer has a position in Christ, and we represent the Father's authority as his Spirit works through us on this earth. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, Paul said, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Mark 12:34, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." You and I, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we represent God's authority on this earth. God desires to use us to lead people to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Because of the Father's love, the prodigal not only received a robe and a ring, but he received some runners, I say. He received some shoes. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. In those days, I'm told, as I read, that slaves went about barefoot, but not sons. Sons had shoes. And this son is given shoes again. You and I were once slaves to sin, but now we are considered the very sons of God. John wrote in 1 John 3 verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." The shoes that the Father gave him were a protection when he walked. And can I say that when a person becomes a Christian, are they not given new shoes for a new purpose? Ephesians 6 verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." If you're a believer, we have to put on gospel shoes. God expects us to take the gospel of peace to others. That is the good news, that people can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10 verse 15, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Because of the Father's love, the prodigal not only received a robe, a ring, and runners, but the prodigal receives a roast. The fatted calf was killed. Something had to die before the prodigal could experience fullness of joy in the Father's house. Someone had to die before any believer could experience fullness of joy in the Father's house. And the person that had to die was Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. John said when he saw Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The prodigal experienced a famine in the land and a deep hunger before he returned to the Father. And don't we see that in our land today? I believe that for most of the population of Australia, there is a famine. It's a famine of the words of God. So many places in Australia used to have a family Bible. Mightn't have been read much, but many houses had family Bibles. Now there is a famine in the land of the Word of God. So many children are growing up and they have no idea about God the Father. They have no idea about creation. They have no idea about redemption. They have no idea about reconciliation. They have no idea about Jesus Christ. For numbers of children today in Australia, Jesus is a swear word. They have no idea that he is the saviour of the world. There is a famine in our land today, a famine in regards to the word of God. So many people are not hearing the word of God anymore in our country. The idols of the age have replaced worship of the true and living God. The idols of the age have become immorality and self-esteem. The idols of the age have become riches. How sad. There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land today of loneliness. With all the lockdowns that are going on around the country, people don't know when they're going to be thrust into loneliness, kept away from their friends and their families. There's a famine in the land, and people need to hear the word of God. In the deep hungers that people have in Australia, they need to know that only a relationship with Jesus Christ will satisfy. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Going back to the prodigal. Before he could ever be fed at the Father's table, the prodigal had to recognise his hunger. He knew that his hunger could only be satisfied at the house of his Father. Food and free forgiveness was provided by his loving Father. Because of the Father's love, the prodigal not only received a roast, but he received a reunion at the Father's house. Luke 15:24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. There was joy at the Father's house upon his return, and there is joy now and in the future for every son and daughter that comes to the living God. Luke 15, verse 7. Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. When John wrote Revelation, he wrote this down in Revelation 19, verse 9, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There was a man back in history called Robert Robinson, and he wrote a hymn called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And this hymn expressed the grace of God to sinful men. Robert Robinson was a small boy when his dad had died. In the 18th century, this meant that Robert Robinson had to go to work at an early age. Robinson was an apprentice barber, but he fell into bad company. But one day he talked his friends into going to hear a preacher called George Whitfield. Whitfield was cross-eyed. He was an unusual-looking person. And Whitfield the evangelist was mocked by others because of his strange appearance. And he was nicknamed Dr. Squintum because of his eyes. Whitfield had a booming voice, and Benjamin Franklin at the time believed that Whitfield could be heard by more than 30,000 people at a time when he was preaching, if the conditions were right. Franklin estimated that Whitfield could be heard as far off as a mile away. What a volume Whitfield had in his preaching. Robert Robinson told his mates that they should go and heckle George Whitfield when he was preaching. When they came to hear Whitfield, he was preaching from Matthew 3 verse 7, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" After hearing Whitfield preaching, Robinson left under deep dread of sin that actually lasted for 3 years. Finally, at the age of 20, Robinson made peace with God, and 2 years later he wrote his famous hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Robinson's hymn was about grace and mercy. "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He too rescued me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above." Robinson knew what it was like to be a prodigal son. But he also knew that the Father showed grace and mercy and forgiveness in sending his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for all our sins and to rise again on the third day. Both grace and mercy and forgiveness comes from both the Father and the Son. Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Believers in Christ have a heavenly Father like no earthly father. Our heavenly Father is perfect. Our heavenly Father has provided a way of reconciliation for the whole world in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary. And when we trust Christ as our Saviour, we are given eternal life and a home in heaven. Our destiny can be sure. There's going to be a reunion. There's going to be reconciliation. There's going to be redemption, all because of Jesus Christ. I wonder, do you know the Father? Your heavenly Father is a Father that loves you like no other earthly father. Your earthly father may have made a lot of mistakes. Your earthly father may have caused you trials and trouble and tears. Your earthly father may have scarred you for life. But I want to tell you that there's a Father in heaven that loves you, that desires to reach out to you in your pain and in your trouble. And it's a Father in heaven that reaches out to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for all our sins. We have a Father in heaven that desires that we come to him for reconciliation. We have a Father in heaven that desires that we take up his gift of redemption provided in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Father, we thank you that grace and mercy and forgiveness comes from both the Father and the Son. We thank you, Lord, that you showed grace and mercy to us in sending your dear Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for all our sins. And Lord, I pray for those that are separated from their fathers and grandfathers today. I pray for those that are grieving the loss of their fathers and grandfathers. I pray for our nation, as there is a famine in our nation today, a famine of the Word of God, where so many people do not know the Word of God or Jesus Christ as Saviour. And Lord, I pray for anyone listening this morning that has been shattered by their earthly father, that they would look to a heavenly Father, the Heavenly Father, that wants to bring reconciliation, redemption, and grace and goodness to their lives. We thank you that there is a Father in heaven who's not only our Creator, but a Father in heaven that provided redemption for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, for those of us who know Jesus, help us to be about with our gospel shoes on, bringing the good news of the gospel to the land of Australia, who's in famine now as far as the Word of God is concerned. And Father, there are many in loneliness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.